Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America, and we are here to talk today about the continued stonewalling by the FAA about serious safety concerns for the flying public and the FAA's refusal to investigate violations of medical procedures related to the COVID shots and the mandate by the airlines for pilots and flight crew, in fact, all airline employees, to be vaccinated with the experimental gene therapy COVID shots. The medical damage to across the board, all age groups, civilians, as well as pilots in the military and commercial aviation, and all in flight crews and mechanics and all of the other people working with the airlines to ensure our safety for the flying public, are really seriously in jeopardy with what's going on with the FAA's refusal to investigate irrefutable proof of damage from the COVID shots, as well as irrefutable proof of violation of the FAA's own policies. And the way in which the airlines are creating an alternative medical standard that violates the Federal Aviation Act of 1958. And here to discuss all of that with us is a career commercial airline pilot and captain, Bahij Saliba. And he will tell you what he has been doing on the legal front to hold the FAA and the airlines accountable for their failures on these serious threats to passenger safety. Captain Saliba, thank you for your courage in speaking out and your continued work on the legal front as a pro se litigant, doing the legal work yourself without the benefit of an attorney and filing suit against the airlines and some of your upcoming actions planned against the FAA itself. So welcome to the Whistleblower Report for a follow-up from the show we did recently about the FAA violations on these the failure to investigate the violations on safety issues.
Well, thank you, Dr. Vliet, and it's a pleasure to speak with you again. What I want to start by saying is that the medical certification of airline pilots is inextricably linked to the legal obligations that pilots have to comply with and airlines have to comply with. So my airline where I work is American Airlines, and back in a little bit of a history of how I arrived where I'm at today. Back in 2021, I did file a safety report with the FAA, which goes directly to the Office of Audit and Evaluation. In the report, which was relatively short, but two very important points that I informed the FAA about were the fact that the airline was enforcing a medical treatment, which the airline does not have the authority to enforce because the relationship between the pilot and the FAA is the only relationship in existence for the issuance of a medical certification of the pilot. And the second concern was the fact that right along with the coercion and the threats of American Airlines to accept the treatment, as you very well described it, Dr. Vliet, there goes hand in hand something called a fitness for duty declaration. A fitness for duty declaration is a statement that the pilot has to make before every flight. Commercial pilots, we're talking now, if you're a private pilot, it's completely different. But when you're engaged in commerce, there are obligations that pilots have to comply with. So these two concerns that I submitted to the Office of Audit and Evaluation were basically dismissed because they never responded to me. They never followed up on my report. That was back in 2021, right around October of 21. Fast forward to today, when I filed the similar report with all the irrefutable evidence that showed American Airlines' agreement with the pilot union, by which the airline paid the pilots for the jabs or the shots, and the fact that they actually continued to pay and promote the J&J shot and pay pilots for the J&J shots, despite the fact that the FAA paused the shot on April 19, 2021. The agreement that was signed on March 25th of 2021, and the pause for the J&J was on April 19. That's about 24 days after the agreement was signed. Throughout that year, 2021, American Airlines advertised the fact that the J&J was acceptable for them as compliance with their demand for the shot. Well, that created what I termed the second tier medical standard. Once you get everybody to comply with a certain medical procedure, you certainly have a new standard, which is not authorized or authored by the FAA. And even the FAA cannot enforce any treatment, any medical treatment on pilots. So it's a very strict relationship between the pilot and the FAA, in which the airline does not have any role to play. So the legal implication here is that, this was in my report, which the FAA refused to investigate, is the fact that the airline created a new or a second tier medical standard. American Airlines interfered in the pilot or flight crew member duty, and they accepted duty from pilots who took the J&J shot while it was on pause and compensated them for the shot. Everything is tracked. So there's plenty of record to show the fact that they have done all this. And all of that is a violation of the law, of aviation law. And although I have provided the irrefutable evidence, the FAA still refuses to investigate. Here's the interesting thing is that when I filed the second report late last year, it went to the same office, the Audit and Evaluation. And that office just sat on the report for roughly 3 months. And then I sent them a notice, a legal notice, which I wrote. And within 2 weeks, they responded by creating a what I'm calling a docket or a disclosure under the FAA rules that forwarded the complaint to the aeromedical department, which is led by Dr. Susan Northrup. I followed up immediately with another notice tailored for Dr. Northrup. And within 2 weeks of that notice, she responded with the letter that says they basically are refusing to investigate at this time. And I don't really know when is a good time to investigate. I mean, if somebody tells you some airline is using faulty parts on their airplanes and gives you the proof, would you sit on it for a month, two, three, four, not investigate? Or would you investigate promptly because of safety concerns? So this is no different. So they're sitting on their report and refusing to investigate. So I did send them a second notice, and in that notice, I gave them a 14-day window to respond. And the response basically has to do with providing answers as to why they are not investigating. There has to be an answer. They can't just choose not to investigate because the Federal Aviation Act of 1958 does not give them that authority. They don't have the luxury of saying, well, today we're not going to investigate, but we will tomorrow. That is their duty to investigate. They cannot be choosy.
Well, and in addition, as you have brought out in all of the programs that you've done with us, the Legal Symposium and the Whistleblower Reports, one of the clear issues is that anything that threatens passenger safety is supposed to be investigated by the FAA under the Federal Aviation Act that's been in place since 1958. And yet they are refusing to do this. If the FAA itself paused the J&J shot on April 19th, 2021, because of the safety concerns, which at the time were related to the blood clots,
that's and correct.
Obviously a serious concern for a pilot flying a commercial aircraft with several hundred people on board. And American Airlines continued to require the J&J shot. I find that appalling, and really, it's to me unconscionable as a physician who understands the seriousness of the FAA medical examiner requirements that the FAA would not investigate the violation by the airline.
That's correct. And I would like to some of your listeners might be familiar with what a notice is, but let me describe what a notice is real quick. A notice basically is a person to person. I would be communicating directly with the FAA administrator, Mike Whitaker or Susan Northrup, and in the notice I basically lay out the law. I lay out the authorities given to them by the law. I lay out their duties under the law, the violations, and what is expected of them. And they are supposed to respond as one citizen to another. That is what the notice is. Now, I'm not sure they understand that, but what I want to read to you is what the Federal Aviation Act of 1958 says under section 601A. And this is very important because what I see is that the administrator is favoring the corporations. All right. And the law that was created by we the people does not allow him to do that. Because in section 601A, it says the administrator is empowered and it shall be his duty to promote safety of flight of civil aircraft in air commerce. And B, in prescribing standards, rules, and regulations, administrator shall give full consideration to the duty resting upon air carriers to perform their services with the highest possible degree of safety in the public interest. Then it goes on to say the administrator shall exercise and perform his powers and duties under this act in such manner as will best tend to reduce or eliminate the possibility of the possibility. We're not talking about, oh, well, there, you know, there's it's not possible to happen. No, there if there's any possibility, his duty is to eliminate that possibility. So eliminate the possibility of or occurrence of accidents in transportation. And here's the important part. But shall not deem himself required to give preference to either air transportation or other air commerce in the administration and enforcement of this title. Which means that if an air carrier or an airline suffers financially, he is supposed to do it. He's not supposed to give them preference and say, well, you know, it's going to set back their stock of whatever, you know, 20% because we're investigating. The act does not give them that luxury. It tells them that's your duty. You have to, you shall do it. And this is where the FAA is stuck now. There's a law that they are not violating. I mean, they're not following. They're violating the law. And it's important that people understand that in the law, anytime there's a violation in the law and there's a party that's been harmed, that party has to be able to find remedy in court. Now, if the FAA does not apply the law or does not uphold the law like they should, and something happens, where are the victims going to find remedy? In which court? Is the FAA going to step up to the plate and say, you know what, we goofed up. We were supposed to, our oversight wasn't that good. So who pays for that? Where do you find the remedy for that? You see? So this is important. It's very important for, even though the threat is not visible, it is there. The threat is there. Pilots are flying with side effects that are harmful, and they can manifest anytime in really serious situations or create really serious and dangerous situations, especially with the myocarditis and pericarditis conditions and the blood clotting. It's serious. It really is serious. Just because you don't see it happening today doesn't mean that it's not going to happen in the future.
And not only that, we've already seen, it's not widely known and it's certainly not publicized in the mainstream media, but you know, and I know from many sources that there are that the in-flight medical emergencies or flight diversions for medical emergencies have skyrocketed since the COVID shot mandates.
Yes, there was an uptick in diversions and incapacitation of flight crew members. Absolutely. American Airlines had a flight coming in from Paris to Philadelphia. The co-pilot had a seizure on a short final. We're talking about 3,000 feet above the ground. And he had to be pulled out of the seat. Those flights are long-haul flights that require three pilots to be on the flight deck during approach and departures. And they were able to remove that pilot who stiffened up like a board, is what I heard from reliable sources. Which
well,
could
yes,
have very
during
well,
a seizure, a grand mal seizure, that's exactly what happens.
That's right, which could have very well obstructed the rudder pedals and the flight controls, and could have been disastrous if that happened just about when they're about to touch down. So the threat is there. It's not visible to the average traveler because they do a very good job hiding what happens. Example, Bob Snow, and I think you are familiar with who Bob Snow is, Captain Bob Snow, who had
yes.
a cardiac arrest 6 minutes after landing. In American Airlines world, he doesn't exist. Okay? In the Allied Pilots Association world, he doesn't exist. And that's the sad part. That's really sad. He doesn't exist because they don't want it to surface. Both the union and the company raced to get all these pilots jabbed, and they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear the harm that they have caused. And it's really very serious.
Well,
very
and
serious.
What happens is, of course, the airlines mandated the shots for the pilots and incentivized with financial compensation for pilots to get it or threaten them with losing their job if they didn't. Again,
that's correct.
In violation of federal law and the Federal Aviation Act, they could not legally impose a requirement for a medical treatment, and a particularly an experimental one.
That is correct. Now, here's the interesting thing is the FAA has interpreted the law in such a manner that they were able to prosecute anybody who shines a laser light on an aircraft. So the rule that a person who shines a laser light at an aircraft causing impairment of the pilot's vision and possibly permanent damage to their vision, okay, these people are prosecuted under 14 CFR paragraph 91.11. Okay, the FAA itself has interpreted that that rule is violated when a person threatens, assaults, intimidates, or interferes with a crew member in the performance of the crew member duties on board an aircraft being operated. And more importantly, it said that that person does not have to be on board an aircraft. So all these CEOs and managers who forced the pilots to take these shots, intimidated them, they threatened them, and basically assaulted them with the shot, have violated this rule. And the FAA is refusing to investigate that. And this is where
we're
at
today.
But
they do investigate it for other things, just not the COVID shots.
Yes. Yes, because this is a hot political potato. So, and they were complicit in facilitating the airline's ability to impose such a draconian medical treatment on the pilots and the flight attendants and the mechanics, all the workers at the airline. They had no right to impose any medical treatment on anybody. But the FAA was complicit.
And the FAA did not issue any mandate for the COVID shots, just to be clear for the listeners. The FAA didn't mandate the shots. You know, all the way around what we've seen, I've seen it as a physician working in this area since COVID rolled out, and then the COVID shots, that the federal government could not mandate these experimental COVID shots, but they put pressure on private employers to do their dirty work, and the government gave financial incentives to all kinds of employers to push getting their employees vaccinated, which is what the airlines did.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct.
And the airlines received federal payments, incentive payments, to facilitate that.
Billions of dollars.
Yes, it's very chilling to think that the government is working against the safety of the public in the ways that they have been for the last 4 years.
It is. It really is. And
well,
this is where we're at. But yeah, I'm sorry, Dr.
Well,
Leith, go on.
Well, let's take a short break here and then come back and explain where we are now in your legal action and all that you're doing as a pro se litigant. You can explain to our listeners who are not familiar with that term what that is.
Okay.
We'll take a short break here. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. Check out our website at www.truthforhealth.org. And if you've gotten the COVID shot, check out our store at truthforhealthstore.com for all of our high-quality professional formulas of nutraceuticals and our vaccine injury treatment guide that shows you how to combine these non-prescription supplements and vitamins and minerals and nutraceutical approaches to help repair the damage from the COVID shots and improve your health and resilience. We'll be right back after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
True Bio D3, available only at truthforhealthstore.com, contains vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, and convenient soft gels. Our vitamin D3 is the bioidentical form of vitamin D, synthesized in the body from cholesterol following activation by UV rays in sunlight. This form is excellent for maintaining healthy levels of vitamin D in the body, and mounting evidence suggests vitamin D not only plays an important role in maintaining bone health, but also in supporting immune, neurological, musculoskeletal, cellular, and cardiovascular health too. Get your bottle of True Bio D3 only at truthforhealthstore.com.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America with the FAA medical report on serious safety and legal violations that threaten the flying public and the safety of those who get on our commercial airlines. And I'm here with our guest, commercial airline pilot with about a 25-year career as a commercial airline pilot, Captain Bahij Saliba, employed by American Airlines. Captain Saliba, correct me if I'm wrong on the number of years you've been flying, but I know that you have extensive experience on all of the issues that you are describing, and you take your duty on the medical declaration very, very seriously, and in fact have been educating other pilots about the importance of these declaration, fitness of duty declaration before every flight. And you have been dedicated in exposing these legal violations through your pro se litigation. So explain again for our listeners what pro se litigants are doing and where your cases stand.
Yes, just to clarify, I've been in the aviation business for almost 40 years.
40 years, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, with American Airlines for 26 years.
26, 20
years,
okay.
20 years as a captain for American Airlines. And with this COVID deal, when COVID just appeared on the scene, there were certain rules and regulations that were not visited very often by pilots. For the main part, pilots, you feel good, you go to work, and you don't abuse alcohol or drugs and you just do your job and you go home. It has never been that a pilot was forced to take a medication to keep their job. And so the legal question came to me rather early, because as a current flight instructor as well, I was involved in, when you're teaching, you get involved in the regulations, and you have to teach the regulations to your students as well. So it was fresh in my mind, and I started digging into the law to find out whether the airline can actually do this or not, and quickly learned that the medical certification process, as I mentioned early in the show, is a very narrow process that is limited to the applicant and the FAA. And the airline has no business dictating anything to a pilot because the FAA, to begin with, the FAA itself, the federal government cannot dictate that. The law does not allow them to dictate that because we go back to the remedy. You see, the FAA is the agent of the people. So the agent of the people cannot dictate a medical treatment that may have a negative outcome because, once again, where do you find your remedy if something happens? So the obligation and the duty falls squarely on the pilot to make the right decision, use authorized drugs or approved drugs. And you can't even take over-the-counter drugs just like that, just because the FAA says you may take the drug. The responsible option is to discuss that with your FAA aeromedical examiner before you use the drug, whether you can consume the drug or not, because if you are on any other drug, you have drug interactions that can be detrimental to a pilot. I'm not a medical expert, and you can speak to that, Dr. Vliet, but when you are at 7,500 feet, we know that the water boils at different temperature at different altitudes. So your body is a chemical vessel. And when you have drugs in your body mixing, your body is going to behave differently at different altitudes than it would normally at the level where you normally live. So in my experience, we've had many medical emergencies where certain people who consume drugs as treatment might have problems in flight because their body behaves differently when they're in flight than it would at, say, sea level or at 1,000 feet. When you go up to 7,500 feet, your body is going to behave differently. So it's a very critical area for the FAA to really understand the drug and the drug interaction and to make the right decision to authorize or not authorize the drug. That's why the FAA is reluctant creating a library that a pilot can go into the library and say, well, I can take that drug. I'm just going to go take it. It doesn't work that way. And for them to authorize this experimental drug or treatment, emergency use authorization drug, is a failure on the part of the FAA. And more so the fact that they have allowed the airlines to invade the public policy, which is the medical certification is public policy. So they allowed them to invade it and create the second standard that is airline specific, basically. Because, you know, for example, Delta could have said, no, we want you to take only Pfizer. Or American could have said, no, we only want you to take the J&J, right? Because it's happened. For example, in Israel, they only used Pfizer. They didn't use any other drug. So an airline could have chosen to do that. And then it would have been a very airline-specific standard. So where do we draw the line? Do we allow the airline to just dictate any medical treatment? Or do we say, no, it's the FAA's job, that's public policy, and you can't invade that public policy? And this is where we're at. This is why the FAA needs to step in, and they need to correct what happened during this announced COVID to secure the process of pilot medical certification.
And that's, I still find it shocking that the FAA is turning a blind eye to your notices of these legal violations when they are required to respond to the notice and investigate, and they're ignoring it, and passenger safety is threatened.
Yes, they are.
I would think if the public knew this, and granted, it's being censored by the media and by the airlines and by the FAA stonewalling, But I think if the flying public knew this, they would be outraged because everyone getting on a commercial flight is in jeopardy.
Yes, and this is why I'm speaking up. This is why I'm talking about this, because when you do get on an airplane, aviation as a whole is about risk management. Okay, and the administration, the FAA, that their job is to prevent and minimize the chance of anything happening. There's still going to be risk. Aviation is a risky business to begin with. But when you allow certain practices that increase that risk, you have failed at your duty, at what the people have sent you to DC to do. If you're appointed as the FAA administrator, your duty is to minimize any risk, no matter where it comes from. That's your job. So they are failing that. And what I do want to point out something as well, and that is when there is an air carrier operating under what we call 119 authorization. That is the rules title. That gives the airlines the authorizations to operate. Certain personalities in the flight department receive something called letter of authorization. And what that does, basically, it passes the authority from the FAA to that individual. So they become an agent of the FAA. And in American Airlines case, we had this captain called Chip Long. He was the senior VP of flight at the time. And he put out the message. Now, mind you, the FAA cannot impose, and they did not impose, mandatory jabbing for pilots. But this captain in that position, who received the letter of authorization from the FAA, addressed the pilots and threatened their livelihood if they did not take the shots. He is an agent by letter of authorization. He's an agent of the FAA, and they are refusing to investigate that person. By refusing to investigate the irrefutable evidence that I gave them. And this is one of the evidence. I mean, there's so much, it's just, it's hard not to investigate. Therefore, and going back to why I got into all this legal stuff, nobody, the airline retaliated against me because I asked this question. How could you accept pilots who took the J&J while the J&J was on pause by the FAA for blood clotting? So they retaliated against me and they punished me, put me on no flying status, and they stopped paying me since August of 2022. And when I started looking for help by way of attorneys, nobody wanted to touch the case. The lawyers who I knew would say, don't even think about it. It goes nowhere. You're not going to be able to win. And they're right, because the courts are corrupt. The judges are corrupt. So I ended up filing what you mentioned there, Dr. Bleak, is pro se. Pro se is the term, the Latin term for I'm basically practicing law on my own behalf in court. So I can file my own complaint and I can be my own lawyer. And I did that. And at this point, the lower courts ruled against me. The Court of Appeals ruled against me. So I'm taking my case, two claims of my case, to the Supreme Court of the United States. And This is going to be the next step, and we hope that the Supreme Court is actually willing to take up the question that I will be presenting to the court, which has to do with the question is, would be whether the airline has the authority to impose a medical treatment and then not compensate me, because the law is very clear. It says that the air carrier has duties to maintain compensation for the pilots and co-pilots who are providing transportation. So it's very, the law is very It's not straight black and white. I mean, it is, but it's not. When you file a complaint, the opposing team is going to try and present an argument to make you fail at your claim. And oftentimes when they don't have the argument, the court will, which is corrupt in my case, the rulings were highly inaccurate, will just create a reason to dismiss your case. Well, you didn't do this, or you didn't present enough evidence that you had a contract with the airline, or that they violated. They'll just find an excuse, a reason to dismiss the case. So, as a whistleblower, basically, is what I am, and as a pro se, I have a long road ahead of me, and it's been a long road, but it's good. It's good because it's really bringing up the questions that everybody should be paying attention to. And one of the very important questions is that, are these agencies running wild? They're out of control. They're not serving the people.
Well, I think that is obviously happening with the Department of Justice and the lawlessness there and the failure to prosecute true criminals and weaponizing the Department of Justice against citizens. Look at the J6 prisoners who have never had their constitutional rights honored and no due process, and they've been sitting in jails as political prisoners in Washington since January 6, 2021. And look at what's been happening with a former president, President Trump, and these made-up charges and absolutely corrupt judges and biased juries. It's really a very chilling persecution of political opponents that has not been characteristic of the American justice system. Look at the weaponization of the Department of Defense in ordering the all military to take the experimental shots when they were not authorized to do that. And they actually, the SecDef actually ordered the mandate to be for FDA approved COVID shots. And there never was any FDA approved COVID shot available for anyone, military or civilians. And they knew that when they issued the mandate, and the shadow policy being carried out from the Pentagon direction down through the chain of command was requiring experimental shots to be given to all of our military, resulting in extraordinary damage. And certainly military pilots have suffered damage just as commercial airline pilots in the civilian sector have. So all the way around, whether it's the Department of Health and Human Services, the CDC, the FDA, Department of Justice, Department of Defense, FAA, none of our regulatory agencies are doing their job to protect the public as their charter and the law requires. That's the bottom line.
That is very accurate, and I say that because I have experienced it, and I still am experiencing what you just described. It's really the justice system is the glue that holds the country together. So if this justice system fails, we're in trouble.
It's already been failing throughout the COVID era.
Yes.
We have not been able to get any traction in the entire legal system on many fronts, on the COVID death protocols incentivized by the government for hospitals to use. We've gotten no traction in on the legal defense front for military service members, for civilians who lost family members in wrongful death from the experimental shots and the COVID death protocols in hospitals. All the way around, the legal system has already failed us in its corruption, and it's focused on this political agenda. And that's why Truth for Health Foundation is continuing to support these legal efforts to hold these companies and agencies who violated the law, hold them accountable. And in fact, we have discussed with attorneys that Truth for Health Foundation could, on behalf of the public, step in and support your pro se litigation with an amicus brief once you reach the Supreme Court and once there is a legal action officially in place against the FAA. So for donors out there who may be listening, as a public charity, we could very much use your support financially to help us fight this fight with the courageous whistleblowers who are coming forward to speak up for all of us to advocate for public safety, particularly. So, Captain Saliba, are there closing words you'd like to share with our audience? What's your next step on the legal front with the FAA, the notice that you've filed?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Vliet, for everything you're doing and you plan on doing. The second notice that I gave the FAA administrator and Susan Northrup has about 9 days left. They need to respond to that notice in concrete terms. They can't just say, oh, we're just not going to do an investigation. I need to know why you're not doing the investigation. Did you give authorization? Did you give waivers? There's got to be a reason. You can't just not do it. So that gives me some time and gives them some time to really review their previous position of we are refusing to investigate at this time. And after that, really the only logical step would be to issue a writ of mandamus. And for the listeners who don't know what a writ of mandamus is, basically is a file with the court to ask the court to issue an order for the FAA to conduct an investigation in accordance with the law as their duties call for. And once that is done, then they have to answer through the court why they were not doing what they were doing, why they refused to do what they supposed to do, or why they don't want to do what they are supposed to do. So they have to answer at that time. Right now, this is my way of approaching the FAA and giving them the chance to come forward and say, okay, you know what, you're right, we need to investigate, and this is what we're going to do, as they should. But if they dig in their heels, we'll have to take them to court and force them to investigate. And by the way, all my efforts are not to harm American Airlines or the pilots or anybody. The effort is to breathe life into the pilot medical certification process because of this invasion by the airlines against the process. The whole process is an honor system where pilots declare their own deficiencies to their aeromedical examiners. So when pilots are harmed by certain demands by the airline, they're not going to come forward and destroy their career because they were forced to do it. You see, so it's destroying the system as it is. So my efforts are to save that process, to actually preserve the transportation system in the United States as it were before this happened. It has to go back. The authority has to fall where the authority was assigned by Congress to begin with. So that would be my closing points there, Dr. Vliet. And once again, thank you for what you do and all your efforts.
Well, you are so welcome for whatever I can do, giving you a platform, as well as what the foundation can do in our legal defense support efforts. And again, that's thanks to the courtesy of our donors and their generosity. So donors listening out there, please help us in this serious legal battle to advocate for public safety, particularly in the commercial airline situation that we face. And also, I really appreciate all the dedication that you've shown, Captain Saliba, in pushing this so hard and spending so much time, your own time and effort, particularly when you haven't been paid by the airline for 2 years. That's really hard to deal with, the loss of your income, at the same time that you're trying to fight these battles for everyone else. So we're just grateful for people like you with the courage and the intellect and the dedication and persistence to stand up and fight. It is a David against Goliath, but God empowered David to slay Goliath. And I pray every day that God empowers the courageous whistleblowers like you to stay strong and ultimately be victorious. So join us, all you listeners out there. Please send your donation to truthforhealth.org. You can go online and donate to support our efforts and sign up for our email newsletters and alerts so that you can be part of the solution for all of the problems that we still face. I know that people are tired of the COVID battle, but it is causing damage every day when our own agencies to protect the public fail in their duties. And it's up to us, we the people, to stand strong, speak out, and work together to hold them accountable. Thank you for joining us today. Check out our next whistleblower report at www.truthforhealth.org.